And here we go. And here we go. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. The goal here is to get through some parts of Sharia. And the reason I originally started to go through this, and yay, Dr. Kufar is here.
All right. What's up? What's up, you Catholics?
I am excited. I have to thank Dr. Kufar for getting me excited about doing these kind of things, because originally it was just not my thought process to do this. And I credit him for that. Because we went through the Quran. Why can't we go through Sharia is my next thought. If the Quran is all important, the Hadiths are just too voluminous to go straight through. And the reliance of the traveler is pretty long.
Yeah.
But when I look at it, and we look at Reliance of the Traveler, it's usually only one column on a page. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but it's worth going through. And mm-hmm. I would say the most important thing is that most people in the world don't know what's in it. Not even Muslims.
But you have to realize, Paul, if you don't mind, brother, to share, that Sharia is the joint work between the Quran and the Sunnah. So what Muhammad said and what Allah said makes Sharia. We're not talking about Sharia as a separate document or separate ideology from the Quran. As a matter of fact, Quran comes number one. Over 80% of the Quran is Sharia, is laws. And that's exactly what you're going to see as you continue with studying the Reliance of the Traveler. You see that he's quoting Quran verses and he's quoting saying of Muhammad or the Sunnah of Muhammad, which is what he did. And both Quran and Hadith makes Sharia.
And this is the important part to understand. And, you know, when I look at what we're going to cover, I want to do a quick review of, we're going to do a quick review of A1.4, which Dr. Lloyd DeJong covered with me last week or this past Sunday. And there's a couple of points there, I think, that we'll cover in just a few seconds. But going through this, it's funny because I've read this, I don't know how many times, but going through this with the purpose that I've had this time, with the intent of sharing it, not just for my own research, it's different. And I don't know if people think about those things, but with the idea of sharing something, you always want to be able to teach something. So this is the stuff that surprises me. So I'm just going to share my screen on this so we can get started. And let's see here. Now, for those of you familiar with Dr. Lloyd DeJong, I'm borrowing his copy of Reliance of the Traveler. So he has a lot of highlights, and I'm thankful for that. I just want to point out some things with A1.4 that we talked about. The Lawgiver is in A1.4. And the Lawgiver is, according to Reliance of the Traveler, is Allah or his messenger. So the title given to Allah is the same title given to his messenger. And I think that says a lot. You have any comments on that, Usama?
Well, it's when I looked at this point, when I read it a little bit ago, before we came to the show, I found that it is what I call no logic or no common sense, especially when we get to some examples from the Quran, Allah's word, and from the Hadith, Muhammad's words. You find that that point here for 1.4 or A1.4 is not fact. And he's telling us here that, how do we know what is a good and what is bad? It is according to the lawgiver, not according to people opinion or people thought. But I'm sorry, I see in the Quran and I see in the Hadith that there are plenty of what Allah said and what Muhammad said to be good, when in reality it is evil. And what Allah and Muhammad said, what is evil, when in reality it is good. I mean, we got plenty of examples. And Allah said, for example, that war is hated by you. And perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you, and you love something is evil for you. I'm sorry. No person with logic or common sense will believe that to go on war is good and to live in love and harmony and peace with others is evil. That's backwards. That is exactly the mark or the sign of the evil of Satan, because he makes good evil and evil good. And that's what we see in the Quran. So where is the source?
This kind of morality is Nietzsche's morality. The Übermensch that they speak of, which Nazis
I'm just quoting one verse, Quran 2:2-1:16. But in reality, there are plenty of that which is taught in Sharia, direct command of Allah and direct command of Muhammad, direct practice by Muhammad, which is Sunnah. And I'm sorry, that is evil, that is wicked, that immorality. Who would say it is moral for a man in his 50s to be involved with a little girl, 6, 7, 8 years old? And that is what we're going to see in that book, Reliance of the Traveler, to be just Sharia, Islamic law, and so on with everything else Muslim practice in Sharia.
It is mind-numbing. That's why I wanted to come back to that. To me, you know, what I find fascinating is you can look at Sharia in it by itself. It can take down what is, it kind of deconstructs Islam as well. That's one of the reasons. I mean, it's one thing the Quran does it, but when you start looking at Sharia and it does the same thing, that kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I honestly didn't expect it to be as powerful as reading the Quran, going through it and seeing that, but I'm seeing it because maybe I didn't look at it from that perspective before, but now I am. So Dr. Kufar, do you want to start the reading or? Oh, he might be busy.
Hold on a second.
He's here.
Okay.
So where do you want me to start reading on?
A1.5.
Okay. It's a little fuzzy, but let me see.
Okay. Can you see that? It's made it a little simpler.
Yeah, it's just that it's a scan, so it's not very clear. Okay. So A1.5 says, according to this school, no, we don't know what school that is, but I'm assuming it's the Shafi.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a, it was
all Shafi. What you're going to get is going to be Shafi. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the Reliance of Travel, so it's a chat. Okay, so according to this school, a person is not morally obligated by Allah to do or refrain from anything unless the invitation of a prophet and what Allah has legislated have reached him. Okay?
And now, let's skip that note for a minute, and we'll come back to that. And I think it's really important. We leave that out. Because that's a note, and we'll come back to it, though.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, guys, just a minute, let me get you. I repeat myself again. And if what Allah is said to do or to leave is the opposite of the commands and the teaching of the scripture, the Bible, the word of God, how in the world you can tell me I, as a human, were going to obey, practice, or leaving what the Quran or what the Muhammad teach in the Sharia, if that goes again, is the nature of the true God, the God whom we believe in and worship.
Thank you.
Sure.
Go ahead, Kufar.
Okay, so no one is rewarded for doing something or punished for refraining from doing or refraining from or doing something until he knows by means of Allah's messengers what he is obligated to do or obligated to refrain from.
Good point. Good point. Notice here, he did not say Rasulullah, but Rusul Allah, the messengers of God. What if Muhammad came to contradict every other messenger God sent in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? What are you going to do in that case? They made a mistake here. They should stick in Sharia with Muhammad and Muhammad alone. Unless people are ignorant of what other messengers taught us, then you can go away with it. And I'm sorry to say, that is a big boo-boo. If they do some clean-up editing to the book of the Reliance of the Traveler, they need to change it to Rasul, not Rusul, messenger, not messengers, because now we're going to have lots of problems throughout the whole book.
Yeah, so what happens if they contradict? That's an extremely important point. Brother, so
it is not what happened. I know for sure that what Muhammad says goes up in the everything in the book, everything in the Sharia here.
Yes.
Everything goes against every other messenger we know of, Old Testament and New Testament.
And that's part of the humor in this. Maybe I shouldn't be considering it humorous because it is a pretty dangerous statement to say that Allah knows better.
No, Allah does not know a thing.
Yeah. I'm going to continue from this part of, so whoever lives in such complete isolation that the summons of a prophet and his sacred law do not reach him is not morally responsible to Allah for anything and deserves neither reward nor punishment. So okay. If Allah never talked to you,
the three words in the Arabic language, wa ahlul fitra wa hum, you don't have this in English for some reason.
And
you see in the Arabic language?
Okay, what does that say then?
And the people of the nature, by nature, those who live by nature, they did not put this in English. Do we have this in English?
No.
Okay, very important. You will realize as you read the English translation of the Reliance of the Traveler, sometimes they will not translate the whole paragraph in Arabic.
Yes, I've seen that. Words.
And I'm going to give you some examples. Wait, when we get in deep in study, and some of them are shocking. Literally,
yes.
if you translate it literally, that's why they left it. They left it on purpose because when you translate it literally, it's the opposite of what the passage is trying to say. But Muslim scholars got so smart, they make up meaning to some of these words. They create the fabricate meaning for it.
The complete isolation is exactly. A fabrication.
So here's, now, by the way, this is nothing new here. We have heard this so many times. What about the people in South Africa? What about the people in the jungles who never have access to the Bible? How do we know? How can God judge them if they never heard of Jesus? They never heard of the Bible. They never heard of Muhammad. They never heard of Sharia. How Allah will judge them according to Islam? Well, guess what? We have something in our face. It's called conscience. And conscience God put inside each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, you got a conscience since you were a little boy. So when you put your hand in the jar to get a cookie to eat it, you look around, make sure nobody's watching because you know you're doing something wrong. Or if you break something and you hide it in by yourself. I mean, we have evidence of that all over the world, of every culture. Children, little children, 2-3 years old, when they break something or they do something, they know they're not wrong on their own. No, nobody tells them you cannot break the glass. But the glass broke. It fell down and broke. What do the boys do? They cover it. What do the girls do? They cover it. Why? Because somehow in their conscience, they know they did something wrong. Especially if they have been warned, obviously, about it. So it is it's a confusion. It's a problem.
So what it would say is, so whoever lives in, what was the words you said again?
Those who have the conscience, the natural way. Fitra. The word fitra is what you grew up with, what you always believe. In fitra, Muhammad talked about fitra in his hadiths. There are five things doing fitra, like you cut the fingernails, you take the hair out of your elbow, you clean your nose, whatever. These are fitra. Things you do without, you don't have somebody to teach it to you. which, by the way, does not have any logic, because I know people who live in the jungles never cut their fingernails.
Yeah.
You learn that from somebody
else. Yes.
But
yes.
Even what Muhammad example he uses is nonsense. It's another problem. What about the people who never cut the hair under their butt, under their, what do you call this?
Armpits, yeah.
Yeah, some people do not shave that. Anyway, go ahead.
I would say, yeah, okay. Let's go on to this next part. And
No, you don't leave this. And those okay. who die after the, those who live after the death of the Messenger of Allah, what, is this?
That's what I wanted to do, yeah. Okay, and okay. Those who lived in one of the intervals after the death of the Prophet and before a new one had been sent were not responsible for anything and deserved neither reward nor punishment. This view is confirmed by the word of Allah Most High. And then they repeat, we do not punish until we send a messenger. Quran 17:15. Is that an accurate portrayal of that verse?
False. No, the verse is right. Yeah. But the teaching of that comment is false, because that's why we have Mufti, that we have new decrees every day about every technology. We have literally hundreds of thousands of fatawi or decrees given by the Mufti. Can I use a dishwasher to wash dishes? Can I use a washer machine to wash my clothes? And you'd be shocked to learn that Muslim theologians of today come up with this new Sharia, which is, we know that they're not prophets, they're not messengers, they did not receive any revelation from Allah or Muhammad. Yes, Muhammad has been dead for 1400 years plus, but guess what? We got new decrees, new Sharia, new laws given by these Muslims. And when you think about the logic of it, you can't help but to laugh, because it's foolishness. I mean, you think, is it lawful for me to use washing machine to wash my clothes? You know what? I got my clothes, my shirt, out of the washing machine, even if I use it in a dirt or a mud, it smells clean and it's beautiful. Oh, no, it's not. According to Sharia, washing clothes in a washing machine is forbidden. Why? Because if you have one piece of unclean clothes inside the washing machine, it will make every other piece of clothes unclean. Imagine having an underwear of a lady with the period on it, and you mix that with 10 shirts. It will make all 10 shirts unclean. And if you wear the shirt to do the prayer, your word prayer are not accepted, because now they are impure, unclean, because of touching the underwear of a lady. Well, guess what? That is foolishness. With DNA, I promise you, that shirt will be much cleaner than anything else. Nothing wrong with it. But the Muslim thought, the Muslim ideology of coming with this fatwa is to answer every crisis of every new situation we live in today, because believe it or not, Sharia is not full. The command of Allah in the Quran is not full. We're missing so much. Allah did not know that the day will come and some infidel American or Jew, a Christian or Jew, will invent the washing machine. That's why Muslims have to continue to add to the laws of Allah. If the Quran is the perfect word of Allah and Muhammad is the last and final messenger, we should never need one fatwa, one decree after the death of Muhammad. But guess what?
Well, that's what I wanted to get into, which I think is fascinating. The way this reads, you know, and when I read this by itself without going to the W4.0,
yeah,
it implies that there are going to continually be messengers and there are going to continually be people sent from Allah. It doesn't, there is no statement here that Allah's messenger, that he had an end to prophets and messengers. Which, and that I think is fascinating.
Exactly, Brother Paul. You're absolutely right. Not the case in the Bible. When the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 22, no one can add or take away, that was it. We do not need any new laws or any new Sharia that we can, as Christian, live by. All scripture is written, inspired, that to make the man of God furnished fully in righteousness, in goodness. I mean, man, when you read that was written in Timothy, you don't need any more. You got it all. You'll be holy, you'll be righteous, you'll be fully equipped. You got all the laws you need in the Bible, the Word of God, not in the case of Sharia and Islamic laws.
And that's where, you know, this is where I was fascinated, because this just opens up Pandora's box to say, wait a minute, did they just say that there could be more prophets? Did they just say there could be more messengers. And you know, when you go back and you read this, you have to stop and think, you know, again, this is Islamic law. It's not something where we didn't create this. I didn't write this. This is something they did. Now,
and I don't know if you, Brother Paul, did you mention this is approved by the Azhar University?
Oh, this is, yeah, this is, that's what we did last week. We talked about where it came from.
Okay, because maybe somebody who's not familiar with the book of Sharia, and let me show you here in my document, in the Arabic one, and I hope that we all can see it.
If you want to, okay, what do you have up?
On the beginning? I just need to find the page first, brother.
Oh, you're talking about the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, here we go. Do you have it? Do you have a page?
Yeah, I have the entire... Yeah, we were talking about this at the beginning. Yeah. All right.
Approved by the Azhar University. You need to emphasize on that, Brother Paul. Every time you do one of these shows, you need to explain to the people that this is 100% approved. I'm trying to hold my hands small.
Okay, there's the one from Syria. Is that the page before or after?
It is the other. That is on page XV11. XVII. XVII. The Arabic. And the English is going to be XVI.
Okay, I think, okay, I think that's that one. Okay, Al-Azhar, there we go.
Okay, here's Arabic, if somebody does not really know what I'm talking about.
I can show that in a minute.
Stop the video and read the Arabic and then match it with English.
You wanna, if you want to, yeah, I'll put the Arabic up. That's on the next page. All right, just to
start in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful, the praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, and Allah pray and give peace on our master, Muhammad, and on his family and his companion together. And so on. I don't know if that's what you have. Yes, I think
that's- there's the Al-Azhar one. I can, and I'll let you read it because you can read the Arabic. There we go. That. Clear enough for you, or do you need it larger?
Yeah, I can read that.
Okay.
So obviously, that's a different page than the one I have in my hand. That is a different page. You are now in XXY, which is the Azhar University have stamped it and proved that. Yep, that's a good one too. All right. So, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. The peace of Allah be on you and His blessing. And after that, في أنا ما جاءنا بطلبكم بشأن فحص الترجمة الإنجليزية لكتاب عمدة السلك وعمدة الناسك لأحمد ابن النقيب في لغة الفقه المختلفة من دبر العلماء في الفقه الأخلاقي يفيد من الترجمة المذكورة مطابق الأصل العربي. They said in this translation is perfect match to Arabic and it is accepted to the أهل السنة. The people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, ولا مانع في طبعتها, and there is no any problem to print it and to spread it around. But you know what? That's a lie. I will show you. I will show you, as the Lord's willing, that many of the English does not match the Arabic. It's A, the scholars of the Azhar University are ignorant of the English language. B, they are working together to make their conspiracy of making Sharia to be what it is not. And what about the Arabic places where we do not have English? How can you have Arabic match English when there is Arabic and there is no English?
That's very truthful. That's very truthful. Yeah. We just talked about that just a second ago.
Yeah.
All right. And with that said, I mean, this is verified by them. That's what I'm getting at. It's not something I'm making up. It's not something Usama's making up. It's not something you...
Nobody can argue with you. No one can argue with you, man. You're good.
This is the goal here is to show you what Islam is using as their teachings, not to show you something. I met someone this week who was telling me Islamic law was local. It wasn't set in stone for every place. I'm like, no, I says, I don't know where you learned your Sharia, but I'm reading it and it doesn't say what you're claiming, you know, and I'm laughing at this. I probably shouldn't.
But Brother Paul, you have to understand that plenty of Muslims have no clue what Sharia is.
That's what I get concerned about. I mean, why? I mean, again, I'm looking at it from the perspective of I am a believer of Christ. I am not a Muslim. And, you know, why is it that I, as a believer in Christ, understand how to do research, and I can do better research on their faith structure than they find necessary. But we're going to get into that a little later today.
Sure.
So, all right. So here's where we're going. The note that was on A1.5. And Lord, it's only a note. Please understand this. It's a note. It wasn't there when they wrote Sharia. Am I correct?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So they had to insert that, oh, there was a last prophet. Yeah. So we can't have any more messengers. So what does that say about A1.5? It says, I mean, it says an awful lot. It says there's an awful lot of people that their God can't judge. What happens to them? I guess they go to the imaginary place called purgatory. I have no idea. Yeah. Their concept of an in-between place, I don't know.
But don't forget, there are some who claim to be a Christian, and they're off on that point, who believe in that too.
Yes, agreed. So, all right, so let's look at this. Now, these are notes, and we're not going to read the entire W section because these are notes, and yeah, you'll see why shortly. W 4.1. Kufar, do you want to read the first couple?
Okay, so what are we doing? W4?
Yeah.
4.1. Okay. This section has been translated to clarify some possible confusions among the Muslims as to Islam's place among world's religions. The discussion centers on 3 points. Point number one, Muhammad, forget that part, is the last prophet and messenger. But wait a minute, there's nowhere I would dare a Muslim to show me where in the Quran does it say Muhammad is the last prophet.
And it says he's the seal.
There is one, brother Dr. Kefir, which is he's the seal of the prophets.
But
a nation of Islam, they try to say seal like one thing, but not other. But yeah, he is the last. That's when you seal something.
A seal is a stamp of approval. That's all. Yeah, that's what a seal is.
I would have a question about that. Wouldn't it be like Nabiul Khalisin, like the last? So it's weird, like, because the Ahmadiyya would argue that that's the case, or the Ahmadi would argue that no, he's not the last prophet. That's why Ghulam Ahmed,
that's what they say,
prophet.
Not yes, just Ahmadi, even Nation of Islam in America believe in Elisha Muhammad to be another prophet. Any one of the cults within the cult of Islam who believe in some prophet who came after Muhammad will not believe that seal here means the final. But in logic and common sense, even in the hadith, Muhammad assured us in the hadith that in a house of prophecies, there is one corner prophet. There's one corner stone. That cornerstone is me. Muhammad assured us that he is the cornerstone. He is the final prophet. He is the seal of all the prophets. No prophet will come after him. But if you are a follower of Ahmadiyya or Nation of Islam or any of these propagandist Muslims who invented some prophet for themselves, of course, you're not going to believe in that.
Yeah, but see, but there's a problem. I'm sorry, because in the Quran, I think it's 348 or something, there's a verse that says that Allah's prophets, he makes a covenant with the prophets, and they come with the book and the wisdom. Then a messenger comes to confirm what is with them. So you clearly see that there's a distinction between messengers and a prophet. You can't confirm your own.
Yeah,
you can't confirm your own self.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Kafir Habibi, that verse here, when you talk about a messenger, is speaking of Muhammad himself. So all these messengers who came before me, all the prophets before me, I am the messenger. A messenger came after them. It's built to the unknown, Muhammad speaking of himself. That is another evidence. Muslim scholars, those who know the Quran well, they'll tell you there is no another messenger after Muhammad. They use that for that purpose.
And that's where I think this Sharia that we just read, A1.5, implies that there can be.
Well,
and this is,
yes, until you get to read that English here. I do not have the Arabic for that English. Where is the Arabic for that English?
For this one here?
Yeah.
That for W or?
W.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Let me get my, okay. Let me just, there's no English there. I'm sorry.
There's no Arabic
here. I have it on my, I don't have it in the print version. I don't have it here either, come to think of it. No.
W4.1. I'm sorry, I got here.
W4.0 and W4.1. I don't see any our Arabic for, which is kind of mind numbing.
Page 846. V in Bij what?
846.
846?
Yeah.
Okay. 830.
It's not there.
It's 13, 845, 846. English, no Arabic.
Yes.
No. Actually, it's here in the side here. But man, they make it too. They're adding so much in English, it's not in Arabic. Let me show it to you one more time here. Here's my screen. Look how much English. English. Start here.
Let me see if I can point out what it.
All the English. I'm gonna hold my hand.
See.
Go up cricket to the right.
I can shift to.
Okay. So how many English here?
Mm-hmm.
And look at the rest of the English there, and that's how much Arabic they have for it. Here, that's Arabic, which means obviously there's so many words in English. There's no have Arabic for it. Boy, if we're gonna critique that book, The Reliance of the Traveler, but look at all the Arabic and all the English, you're gonna lose your hair, Paul. You're gonna look at my head. Look at my head.
That's part of the reason why I laugh at some of this, because we know it's written to persuade the non-Muslim. Okay. Again,
for example, he start actually from W4.2. So what is W4.1 N 1 2 3? It's not there. Why is that? Because they're making up the stuff in English for the those who cannot speak Arabic. And by the way, 80% or so of the Muslims have no clue what's written in the Arabic. So
let's read this. Kufar, if you could, where did we stop? I'm sorry.
We're in.
I think we, I mean, I only
read one. You did
okay.
One.
So, yeah. I also want to make a point that in W4.1, it's also noting Islam's place among world religions. So this is where I think it's actually important to pay attention to this part. So if Kufar, if you could read number one there again.
Okay. Muhammad, forget about the rest, is the last prophet and messenger. Anyone claiming to be a prophet or a messenger of Allah after him, or to found a new religion, is a fraud, misled, and misleading.
Yeah. So Usama's pretty much covered that part. Now let's go down to this next section here. I gotta get my mouse in the right spot here. Previously revealed religions were valid in their own eras. So this is a claim that Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, every other faith structure that existed long before Islam was imagined, is now they're obsolete. They don't exist as valid faiths.
This is what some Muslims in the West claim, that Islam came to abrogate Christianity as Christianity abrogated Judaism before. This is a very wicked, un-Quranically, un-Islamically, because I can assure you, in the reading of the word of Allah in the Quran, the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, those who believe in Allah and in the last day and follow what is written in the religion, there will not be fear on them, and they will have eternal life, or they will have the paradise. If that's true, this verse should never be written in the Quran, because then he would say, only Islam will be accepted, and Judaism canceled by Christianity, and Islam, Christianity is canceled by Islam. No, this is a huge contradiction in the word of Allah and in the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, the two sources of Sharia.
I'm gonna finish this part. Again, I'm gonna start at the beginning. Previously revealed religions were valid in their own eras, as is attested to by many verses of the Holy Quran, but were abrogated by the universal message of Islam, as is equally attested to by many verses of the Quran. Now, again, this is error. This is not correct. And it does not exist in Arabic. Please understand that. It says both points are worthy of attention to the English-speaking Muslims. This is written here for the English speaking Muslims who don't read Arabic.
Sure.
It still makes me laugh. Now, who are occasionally exposed to erroneous theories advanced by some teachers and Quran translators affirming these religions' validity. Whoa, wait a minute. The other guys, the Quran translators, were affirming the religion's validity because the Quran in Arabic verifies the factuality and the truthfulness of the Torah and the Gospels. All right. I think that's humorous. Again, it says affirming these religions' validity, but denying or not mentioning their abrogation. Again, not in the Quran. Doesn't say they're abrogated in the Quran, or that it is unbelief to hold the remnant cults now bearing the names of formerly valid religions such as Christianity or Judaism are acceptable to Allah Most High after He sent the final messenger to the entire world. This is a matter over which there is no disagreement among Islamic scholars. Would you agree with that last part that it says, where it says this is a matter over which there is no disagreement among Islamic scholars?
Well, if they ignore the Quran, if they ignore the word of Allah in the Quran, yes, indeed, absolutely. Everything is possible in Islam. When Muslim scholars disagree about everything and they agree on one thing does not fit with the teaching of the Quran, why not? You can laugh, Paul, but that's the reality.
Yes.
Religion cannot be abrogated, especially when the final came to confirm the previous religion. Let me say it again. Maybe you didn't get me, guys. Religion cannot be abrogated, especially when we read in the final religion that final religion, Islam, came to protect, to guard, to confirm the previous religion. Muhammad made enough mistakes when he kissed off to the Jews and the Christians in his early days in Mecca, trying to make them believe in him, accepting him, adding him to their prophets and their messengers. That's a big problem. You should never. This is what I don't like about what you call compromising. Muhammad compromised and compromised and compromised for a long 13 years while he's living in Mecca. Hopefully that he will gain the heart of the Jews and the Christians. He didn't. Now, what are you going to do with all these verses? Oh, it's abrogated. Excuse me. How can you abrogate the command of Allah in the Quran, which said Christianity is good and those who believe in it will go to heaven? Muhammad said that. And I came to confirm Christianity. And I came to confirm Judaism. I came to confirm the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. This is a big boo-boo. Muhammad should never, never, never put these verses in the Quran. And these are the verses we use today to prove that the Bible is the perfect word of God. Allah, as Muslim, claim to be God. You follow me? If I'm talking too much, guys, tell me, shush you something.
This is good. This is good.
Okay.
This is good. I just found that humorous. And that's where I thought you would have a great thing to say. It goes on. It says, and if English-speaking Muslims at times discuss it as if there were some question about it, the only reason can be that no one has yet offered them a translation of scholarly Quranic exegesis, which they're using exegesis, but their term would be tafsir.
Yeah, it is what I call hogwash propaganda talk. Cheap talk.
So, as we've been discussing when we went through the Quran, Dr. Kufar, what is one of the reasons why we did not go to the tafsir when we were reading through the Quran and using critical thinking?
Well, I mean, one reason that I go to the tafsirs, but the one reason that you stay away is because the tafsirs, what do Muslims tell you? Oh, those things came 300 years afterwards. That's just the opinion, versus the Quran is the literal word of Allah.
Exactly.
Given to Muhammad by some guy named Jibril who squeezed them.
Yeah, but don't forget, Dr. Kufar Habibi, when you read the tafsir, and in the tafsir, there are 10 different opinions contradicts each other about that verse you're trying to understand. How in the world you can tell me tafsir is make any sense? I mean, when you start the tafsir by reading, scholars disagree about what I'm going to tell you. Which one of the 10 ways is the right way?
Well, I mean, the tafsirs to me are like opinions. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. Exactly. And we're both right.
And in many cases, in the tafsir, in the interpretation of Muslim scholar, I do not see tafsir, but I see fabrication. Why? Because you cannot interpret something by information that does not come from anywhere from the verses of the Quran. You're making it up. Unless the man who's making the tafsir is another prophet or another messenger who received more information from Allah after Muhammad died, which goes against everything we just talked about so far.
I'm looking at, when I look at Christian biblical commentaries, I like Matthew Henry. There's a few others I like. You know, and I won't say I haven't I really haven't seen any disagreement. I have seen different viewpoints, but not really disagreement yet. There are some who, I guess you can run into differences on certain passages, but in the vast majority, I would say between 85% and 90%, they agree on most of what is in the commentaries.
And you know, Paul, in the Quran, in the interpretation of the Quran, the most repeated word in the Quran, اختلفه, disagree. Muslim scholars disagree. اختلف المفسرون, اختلف المفسرون. That's the most repeated word. I promise you, you will see that word repeated than any other word. Hermeneutics is the science of interpretation. How do we know somebody is doing a good hermeneutics? Number one, what did the original writer, the prophet or the messenger, wrote in its original language? What did he mean by what he said? How he understood it and how he taught it to the people around him in his lifetime, and how they understood it and practiced it. And then you bring it across the culture from the days of the Apostle Paul to our life today, and then we practice it. I'm sorry, 90% of the scholars' interpretation is in disagreement. Not only that, what they say about the verse is not written in the verse. You're missing the very important point. What did Muhammad said, and what did he mean by what he said? You're giving me interpretation, your own hermeneutics, which have nothing to do with Muhammad or anything Muhammad said. This is what I call fabrication, pure fabrication, not interpretation.
Well, what you're backing up is what I was saying when we were going through, when we went through the series. Now, I'm going to recommend to anybody who hasn't seen the series, I'm slowly putting them all up on my blog, paulsutliff.blogspot.com. You can go to, what is the name of the channel, Dr. Kufar?
Which channel?
For the Dissecting the Quran series.
Verse by verse of the Quran.
Oh, the DSQ channel?
Yeah, DSQ channel. Yeah, go there and watch it. He's got it listed as a series you can watch. There's 68 different sessions. But the one thing that I kept saying, I'm a retired educator. I'm someone who has worked with different, I have a wide variety of background. But the one thing that backs up why they kept coming up with so many different so many different opinions and scholars disagreeing, a huge portion of the Quran is built upon what I call con man language. And, you know, it's set up so people can interpret it any way. And
it is ambiguous written verses where you can take it to the right or to the left, however you like.
Yes. And that's what when somebody, you get somebody who does palm reading, they give you these generalities that you can interpret any way you want. And that's my best way to look at it, is to explain that. If you've heard these kind of things, they'll say, well, you're going to meet some guy and blah, blah, blah. There's somebody in your life. And, you know, they pick up little cues from you. And, if you know, somebody just is so susceptible to that stuff, we call them gullible. But that's why you have so many disagreements with Islamic scholars versus other faith structures with what their scriptures are. I'm going to skip down to number three here. It says, Islam is the final religion that Allah Most High will never lessen or abrogate until the last day.
You know, and you again, know, this itself, Paul, is a lie. Well, yes. If this is the true, why many verses in the Quran abrogate other verses in the Quran? And that is the only understanding of abrogation of the Quran, Quran chapter 2, verse 106. Whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten will bring a better verse like it, a verse better than it or like it. I mean, here is what is Islam? The Quran. The Quran abrogate the Quran. That goes against what they say in point 3. That point is a comedy.
And then hadith can abrogate the Quran.
Oh, yeah. We got hadiths, many of the saying of Muhammad, which supersedes the word of Allah.
This is where it gets humorous. And this is where I wanted to point out, we're not going to read all of this, but they go to Ibn Kathir.
How in the world you're not going to read all that? You need to read everything.
Oh, my gosh. Ibn Kathir. You have pointed this out, Usama, so many times, and Dr. Kafar has pointed it out. I can't even count how many times the two of you have pointed it out. You go to Ibn Kathir, and he will write 10 pages on something that's only maybe a few sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you sit there and you wonder where he's getting all this stuff from. Something's wrong when you do that. And again, this comment here is Muhammad is the last prophet and messenger. And Ibn Kathir, this is where it comes from. It says, Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, but the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets.
I'm sorry, brother. The seal, Khatim, is the seal of the prophets.
Okay. So, and this is where I think it's extremely important when you have a bad translation, and this is why we need men like Usama Dakdak here who actually go and let us know what the Quran actually says. I've never heard it used for last until you look at Islam's interpretation of it. Seal in general is a stamp of approval.
Yeah.
And I've never heard the word last used as a.
The word last is akhir. The word last is akhir. He did not say akhir nabiyin, but he said khatim. Khatim nabiyin. And by the way, khatim is the ring you wear on your hand. And this in Muhammad days, on early Bizan Muhammad, kings use khatim. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh gave Joseph khatim. He's anything go by his order. So the khatim in the hand is what you put the candle, you melt the candle on a page, and you seal it. Yachtimbi means
as you the stamp of approval. Yes.
Approval. So that is exactly the word khatim, which is in this verse, Quran chapter 33 and verse 14.
And, you know, I just want to point out, this is where I'm saying I'm not going to read all this because this goes through. I mean, you can take a look. I was just mind numbed with how much is here. Let's just skip to this one. Down number 3, it says, I don't know if that is over in the Arabic, but it says, I have been favored above the prophets and it moved on me. And I have no idea. Right.
It is in the Arabic.
Okay. Says, I have been favored above the prophets in 6 things. I have been endowed with consummate succinctness of speech. If you've read the Quran, if you find consummate succinctness of speech, we have a problem because, first of all, it indicates you don't know how to communicate properly. You don't ever get a full story. In fact, you contradict yourself constantly. So there's no consummate succinctness of speech.
The first thing Allah favored Muhammad with is a lie. It's wrong. Okay.
Let's look at the next one. Made triumphant through dread.
Through
well,
what?
Allah said Allah basically calls himself the creator of terrorism.
Yes, exactly. Wa nusurtu bil-ra'b, and I was victorious with tyranny. Or tyranny, that's a word.
Doesn't he put terror into the heart of the unbeliever?
Sure.
Isn't that that's what I think that was that's the
Quran,
I don't know if that's
59 as many places. It's 6 times in the Quran. Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? War booty has been made lawful for me.
Sure. He actually got rich with the edge of the sword, yes. Or the shadow of the spear. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Wait, okay. We have here's an interesting thing here. We just read in A1.3 or was it 1.4 that Muhammad was a lawgiver, and Allah's a lawgiver. Now it says war booty has been made lawful for me.
Allah made
it. Are we talking
him.
About Allah getting the yes, booty, or is yes. it, or is it Muhammad getting the booty?
Well, depend on the situation. When he get 20%, it was Allah. When he got it all, it was himself in the first bathroom. But go ahead.
Okay, this last one. This is 1, 2, 3, 4. The whole earth has been made a purified place of worship for me.
So
now, wait
Muhammad
a minute.
Can literally pray on the dirt anywhere. You don't have to be inside a mosque or inside a specific building. The earth is holy for Muhammad to pray over it.
Wow, I would almost interpret that another way. Whole earth has been made purified place of worship for me. I would have thought that it referred to Allah. I don't know if anybody else sees that.
It's Muhammad can pray anywhere on earth.
Hmm. Okay. I have been sent to all created beings. Really? Did he ever leave Arabia?
Why he did not translate this Quran to all the language known in his days? Think about in the book of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved in 1 hour. Yeah. And these people come from a bunch of languages. Why Muhammad Islam did not go anywhere in the world except in the Arabic language, to the point that he literally cut the tongues of the Egyptian who spoke Coptics. That is the followers of Muhammad. They force us in Egypt to speak Arabic language. If he is the prophet of all nature, of all people, we should have Islam all over the world from day one.
And this is where I wonder, is this last part in Arabic? And the succession of prophets has been completed in me.
وَخُتِمَ بِي النِّبِيُّونَ And the prophet is sealed by me. That's
sealed.
The right English.
Oh.
Same word. خُتِمَ from خَاتِم, the ring, which is you seal with.
Again, it's a stamp of approval. It's not a finality.
Yeah.
And this is the deception. They're even this is what I think is humorous. They have to deceive other followers of Islam to get their point across. And that to me, it says a lot. If you have to deceive the people who follow you to believe what you believe, something is incredibly wrong with your belief structure. And I want to get back up to here. Okay. I think we were on about 20. Let's see if this works. All right. And I think we're about 30. Let's try 30. And nope, that didn't work.
Production.
And I'm trying to get the right page in here. Sorry. Come on. And let's try it back here. Okay. Trying to get back to where I wanted to go. This is the joy of doing such a big book. Yours is...
it's tough. I could not do that.
Okay. All right. We're getting there. All right. One more page up, I think. We start here.
You need to write down, Paul. Get a piece of paper next to you. When you move a page, write down so you go back to it easier.
All right. That's not a bad idea. Thank you. And if we could just get this to stay in the middle, that would help. All right. Here we go. A 2.0, superiority of sacred knowledge over devotions. Now, in Christianity, Usama, what are devotions?
Actually, he's not talking about devotion here. He's talking about knowledge, bil-ilm. I don't know where he come up with the word devotion.
So it's not there in Arabic.
It is the superiority of being worried or being involved in knowledge, period. I don't know where this other word. We prefer for you to have knowledge. That's what he's trying to say.
Oh.
Get busy studying, Paul. That's what he's trying to say.
This is why it's important to have an Arabic speaker. All right.
The Arabic does not match the English, trust me.
Okay. It's like that's the humor in this, because you only got the International Institute of Islamic Thought saying it's an exact translation.
Well, they've got
Al-Azhar saying it's an exact translation.
Yeah, I can copy the Arabic right now on Google or put it on Prophet Google. It would be much better than that they have.
All right. So Namawi said, this is commentary.
Namawi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says, Allah Most High says, and then we go to say, are those who know and those who do not know equal? Quran 39:9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know exactly what they're referring to, but that's the Quran for you. And then it says, only the knowledgeable of his slaves fear Allah. Knowledgeable of what? We don't know. If we're knowledgeable of fear, that's Quran 35:28. Allah's good at making people fear him. We've learned that by reading the Quran.
Sure.
Allah raises those of you who believe and those who have been given knowledge, whole degrees.
The word whole was there, just degrees.
Okay. So degrees of knowledge is what I would take that as.
Degrees of something, you don't know.
Something, yeah. A2.2. The prophet said, whoever Allah wishes
why they did not say Ma'awiyah said? They cut it short. Ma'awiyah, Allah be pleased with him, said that the prophet of Allah said, oh, go ahead.
Whoever Allah wishes well, he gives knowledge of religion.
You mean Allah does not wish lots of people well? Man, oh man. If this statement of Muhammad is true, that means Allah is not a just God. Why he give people knowledge and others in religion and others don't give them anything? And the funny thing is Allah is going to punish them because they did not believe in Islam, even though he chose for them not to know Islam.
Hey, Kufar, what did we say about this? We found this in the Quran. So we're not believers. It's because...
Well, you know, I'm not a believer because, you know, Allah has sealed my heart and he's probably clouded my mind. So when I read the Quran, I'm not reading it really with understanding.
You know, but it's Allah's wish, isn't it? Allah's wish, yeah, that Allah, we don't know?
Yeah.
It's all over. Allah leads some people astray and he got people and that's the end of it. He does not want
to. Allah led us astray to expose this.
Right. For 10 months, we've been, you know, we've had, because, you know, Muslims will tell you, yeah, you know, Isa, you know, he did all of that stuff by Allah's permission. So therefore, you and I got Allah's permission to dissect the Quran.
Destroy Islam. You guys destroyed the Quran. I remember the few hours I stayed with you. It was fun. I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's part of the reason why I'm continuing. I have to admit it. You guys got me started. This is, I credit you, Dr. Kufar. This is just incredible. I'm going to go on to the next one.
I'm over here trying to figure out what to do now. I mean, I've gotten back into politics.
Just make you laugh.
I'm doing politics now.
Okay. Okay, the superiority of the learned Muslim over the devotee is as my superiority over the least of you.
Well, you know what, Paul? Before even I miss this part, and I have to share it quickly. Why Allah made women stupid?
Oh.
I mean, you talk about Muslim women.
He doesn't say that, does he?
This is Muhammad's word. They are less knowledge, and less religion. Allah made that. And Muhammad said it to the women. He said, didn't Allah say that he made you stupid and with less spiritual? Yes, oh Apostle of Allah, you said, Allah said. When you talk about knowledge, see everything about that book you're reading here, it's a comedy. If you want to read every sentence and digest every verse and every sentence in the book of the Last of the Traveler, man, you destroy Islam 10 times more than reading the Quran.
I think I got to put you and Dr. DeJong together. It'd be interesting. I don't know if you've been on a show with him or not. I think it'd be interesting.
I don't think I met him before unless he changed his name.
That's actually what I was looking for. As a statement like that, I hope he listens because I think he'll want to meet you in person. He's out of Poland.
Yes, indeed.
And that actually is... that's actually something he's actually looking for in someone who's doing what you're doing.
Praise God. Hey, brother, call me anytime. I will meet with you. I will invite you to my place. We'll have a ball. All right.
All right. So here we go. The soup. Again, I think this is humorous. Superiority of the learned Muslim over the devotee. What do you see as the difference between a superiority of a learned Muslim over a devotee?
What's the question again?
What do you see as a difference between a learned Muslim over a devotee? What would you consider a devotee versus a learned Muslim?
Devotee, the one who devoted to the Islam?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think if you are a true learner of Islam, you will leave Islam. If you devoted to it, it doesn't matter, right or wrong. You're going to stick with it. Most Muslims are unlearned. This is just my simple opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misunderstood.
I find very few Muslims who actually have read the Quran.
They actually memorize it too without reading it. They memorize.
Well, yeah, they memorize the sound. They don't. They remember. They know. Memorize the tones.
I'm talking some Muslim who memorize the Quran in the Arabic language. They're Egyptians. Yes. They're Arab, and they never study it. They never question it. They believe it without second thought. Some of them still believe the earth is flat because Allah said so. And what the infidel American Jews and Christians are trying to do causes Muslims to disbelieve. That's why they teach the earth is not flat. That's how stupid they are.
Yeah.
And they'll argue with you.
Yeah, it's just like a discussion I had where they're saying Sharia is not the law of, and basically saying it's not above the law of the land, which I still couldn't believe a Muslim said that to me.
In America.
It's got to be the first kind of had a conversation like that. I'm going to end this here because I did not want to go over too far over the 1 hour limit. And the reason I wanted to stay at 1 hour is I want people to be able to swallow this little bit by little bit. We've been doing 2 hour sessions with the Quran, and I admit, you felt like you killed your brain cells. we did feel like that.
I'll let you finish early, but you have to invite me for next one, man. You cannot do that to me.
Just imagine, Paul, when we used to do 4 to 6 hour shows.
Yeah. Yeah, when we started, it was between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Well, if you always do it in the evening, trust me, I will join you. Lord's willing. Anyway.
All right.
But unlike the one I have in the Arabic, are you going to read anything about it?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, yes, read the English first and see if that's a point.
What are we doing? What did you want?
It's here. Allah and his angels. Go ahead.
Allah and his angels, the inhabit. Okay. Then the prophet said, Allah and his angels, they, the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, the very ant in its anthill, and the fish bless those who teach
the fish
people
and
what
the whale, man. Hoot is whale, not fish. See, these people are lying. The word is not samaka. You read it in the Quran. I'm the only one who put whale. Hoot is whale, not a fish. Fish is samak. Okay, go ahead.
So we got ant hill and the fish. What does it really say?
The hoot is, you know, that noon, Allah swear by noon, the whale, which mm-hmm. the earth set on its back
mm-hmm.
under the water?
Yes.
That he's talking about Hoot, okay? لِيصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلَى. Go ahead, read the rest of it. I need to read what the English said.
Okay, again, Allah and his angels, the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, the very ant in its ant hill, and the fish bless those who teach people what is
bless. God. Excuse me, pray. لَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. They pray over those who teach people the good. That is written by Tirmidhi, and it is Hadith Hassan, which means it's a good Hadith. No Muslim can deny it. Allah pray, and the ants pray, and the whale pray, and the angels pray, and the habitants of the heaven and earth pray on those who teach people the good.
Did you just say Allah prays?
It starts with this. Fadl Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa فضل العالم على العابد كفضل من ابنكم من سمى قال رسول إن الله والملائكة surely Allah and his angels وأهل السماوات and the people of the heavens I don't know who's in heavens except the angels what don't we and earth what والأرض والأرض حتى النملة even the ants in its hole, and the well will prey on those who teach people the good.
Wow.
See, the Arabic will never match the English when it comes to serious stuff like that. They're going to fabricate a good translation, which means the scholars of Azhar are stupid, they do not know English, or they are really joining this Muhammad Nakim, what's his name? It's written by Naheem Keller. It's in Arabic. What is his name? I don't remember this guy's name.
Why are you looking for that?
No, Hamim Killer. No, Hamim Killer. That guy is a professional liar, and so is the scholars of the other university.
Well, it's not a surprise, unfortunately, because that's what we get with Islam generally. Oh, I didn't even notice. Did somebody pop out? I just... Darcy's been here. I apologize, Darcy. I didn't notice you pop back in.
You just pop back in.
All right.
Let's stop here
because I think, I didn't want to go too far over this limit. Part of my reasoning is I'm talking with people in my church about what we've been doing, and you're like an hour. One person who's actually talking to me is like, this is important stuff, but can take an hour at a time, but 2 hours is too much. So I'm going to try and limit this to an hour a piece. It's kind of mind-numbing when you start to think about it. Even this last passage is pretty powerful, and we're only talking about a few small pieces. And we haven't even gotten out of the A section yet. We're not pushing it because we want people to understand what this is. When we get going in this, we get really deep into this. You're going to sit here and you're going to say, "How do they believe that?" Well, I'm going to point back to when I taught World War II history, every time I taught World War II history, my students would say, "How could Hitler do these things?" So I stopped teaching World War II history until I taught Nietzsche's beliefs. Nietzsche taught about the Übermensch and that a concept of morality that was superior to the rest of the world. And I taught that before I started talking about Hitler. And all of a sudden, all the lights in my kids' heads went on when I started talking about Hitler. He believes in the Übermensch. Like, yes. I says, now, if you use that on your essays, in your final papers, I'm going to give you brownie points. I'm going to read everybody's essay. If you use that, you get brownie. Okay. Yes, I gave them brownie points whenever there was a chance for them to write about it. Why? Because 99% of the other teachers were shocked that some high school kid knew who Nietzsche was, and they equated it with Hitler. In fact, they got extra points every time they mentioned it.
Yeah.
So I never had a child ever again ask me one question about why Hitler did what he did. Read the Quran, read the Sharia, you'll know why they're doing what they're doing.
And if you don't, maybe you believe the lies of the so-called Islamists, the so-called moderate about the Islamists, as if Islamists have nothing to do with Islam. Muhammad was Islamist, and Allah is the source of Islamists, if people know what we're talking about here. All right, Brother Paul.
Hey, love you, God, man. Bless you all. Appreciate you for joining me.
Thanks. All right, bless you, brother.
Goodbye, everybody.
God bless you all.
All right.